All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Bobby Fenton, week 13 edition of the show. As we get set for Monday Night Football, the Saints come to town, they'll play the Bucks. It'll be 8:15 on Monday, and it'll be a 5-6 Bucks team that takes the field somehow after the loss in Cleveland this past weekend. And needless to say, we're going to have some thoughts about that on the show today. So, once again, thanks for taking the time. This is going to be a different edition of the show. I kind of went through a transition this past weekend. But I'm going to go back to before the Cleveland game earlier in the week because if you remember, and it feels like a million years ago now, but it was only like 8 days ago. And I'm recording this on Friday morning. But you remember the Todd Bowles speech that was making the rounds on Twitter, or maybe you saw it if you were on Facebook or any number of social media channels, whatever. It was the In the Current show, they call it, the show that's kind of like inside. It's not exactly like Hard Knocks, but like it's team produced by the Bucks themselves, behind the scenes, all that stuff. And there was a very profound speech Todd Bowles gave the team in the auditorium there over at One Buck Place. And a lot of people were sharing it. And it was funny, I thought, even when I saw it coming out last week, that people were so moved by it, not because there was anything wrong with the speech, but because, you know, we kind of been on Bowles a little bit throughout the season. And by we, I mean the whole fan base, not just here at the Free Stretch or even Joe Bucks fan. But the Bucks were coming off a win. And the most fresh thing in your mind is the thing that you're kind of going off of. So people were happy, and Bowles wasn't necessarily catching the heat that he is this week. So the speech, if you, I'm not going to play it. You can go look it up. But it was about being a leader and taking care of your business. And I mean, I didn't think it was as good as a lot of people said it was. Like when people shared it, they were like, oh my God, you have to listen to this Todd Bowles speech, the way he addresses the team. So my cousin actually texted it to me. I had a couple people do that. But my cousin texted it to me last week. And just without even thinking, I fired back to him. I haven't, at that point, I hadn't watched the clip. But I fired back to him, this all sounds great until he punts on fourth and an inch from the 50-yard line or something like that. I don't remember the exact wording I said. But like people seem to have forgotten what Todd Bowles has actually done this year as the head coach, and that video was making the rounds. So lo and behold, the game happens on Sunday, which we all watched, and it was even worse than that. And I texted my cousin back on Sunday afternoon after the game, and I said, you see what I mean? And nobody's been sharing that video anymore on social media. I haven't seen it much lately. And that's because we are at the point now, if you listen to last week's show, I said, hey, the Bucks offense in particular, even though really the whole team, but especially the offense, is at a crossroads. Maybe something got discovered in Germany, I said. Looked like what they did in Seattle or against Seattle was working. They kind of had a little bit of a philosophical change. They still only scored 21 points, but you could see they were going downfield more. You could see they used to play action more. You could see they were letting routes develop and hitting the intermediate stuff, that 10, 15, 20-yard down the field stuff. Not the deep bombs, but not the little screens either. And it was encouraging. I said, hey, they are at a point right now where they can decide what kind of offense they want to be, and they still have a chance to be better than they've been. So we got a resounding answer on Sunday. And not that I wasn't already there, because I kind of already was there, but I'm there now. We are wasting our time, ladies and gentlemen, getting all upset, gnashing our teeth, letting it affect our mood. As long as Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich as well have this sort of philosophy for this football team, it is an absolute fool's exercise. Living and dying with each play, living and dying with each drive or each game or even each season, what are we really hanging on to? Because if you told me, I'm not saying this, I'm just saying, if you told me that the Bucks coaching staff was point shaving, I would seriously have to consider it if I didn't know any better. It's bad enough. And we've been through this. Longtime Buck fans have been through this. It's bad enough when your team's just not good enough. Like, you watch the games, you know they're trying, and they're just not as good as the other teams are in general. They're just not in that upper echelon of the league. And you know ultimately, even though they might win on any particular Sunday, they're not going to be good enough to rise and to be those final few teams and play for championships in January, which is what we all want. We've been there. My entire life was like that until I got to, you know, my senior year of high school. All the 80s and 90s were like that until 1997. We've been there. Like, we've been there. But those teams, and we've been there again since, most of the time simply weren't good enough. And I don't think the Bucks are necessarily a perfect football team. Just because you're 2 years removed from a Super Bowl doesn't mean you're still Super Bowl caliber. Just because you're a year removed from playing in the divisional round of the playoffs and being literally a play away from the NFC Championship. And honestly, really and truly, good enough to win the Super Bowl last year too, even though they didn't. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But just because even though those things are very, very, very recent, doesn't mean you're automatically that good again. I'm not saying that. But this Buccaneer team is good enough, especially in the NFC, which doesn't look like it's gangbusters, all right, to be one of those few teams. So I don't know if I can remember ever being, I think the word is disheartened. Like, this Bucs team, and in particular Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich, haven't just made me frustrated. They've taken my soul. And I tweeted it. After the game, I finally tweeted it out. Like, I said this on Sunday afternoon. I'll read it here word for word. Looking at right now. There it is. I don't think I care about this season anymore. What are we really hanging on to? Is it worth getting upset about? I want a new staff. So, watching the Bucks get a 17-10 lead, and then just completely stop trying to add on any more points. Watching them have a 4th-and-2 at the 32 freaking yard line with a 7-point lead, knowing that the next score, even if it's a field goal, probably ends the game. You get a 2-score lead there, 20-10, fine. I'm not saying you have to score a touchdown. Any score at all, and you're going to win that football game. And knowing that they know that and don't care, watching them intentionally take a delay of game penalty on 4th-and-2 with the Browns rushing defense, which we talked about how bad it was before the game, then the punt, and I know in their defense, I know their idea was for the punt to be inside the 10-yard line or something, but, you know, touchbacks happen. This punt goes in the end zone. Kamara doesn't get it done. And so you net 12 yards, not 17. I know that they took the delay of game, so they were on the 37, but they started at the 32 and intentionally took a delay of game. So you net 12 yards off of your punt. You forego a chance to seal the victory in exchange for 12 yards of field position. And if you're wondering how many plays it took the Browns to cross the exact spot on the field that the Bucs were so afraid of giving the Browns the ball at if they went for 4th-and-2 and missed, the Browns crossed the 32-yard line 2 plays later. They were willing to forego a chance to win the game. And yes, there was time left. At that point, I believe there was 12 minutes left roughly. But again, if you go up 20-10 at that point, you're pretty good to go. Nah, let's take a delay of game and punt the football. God effing forbid we score a single point more than we need to, because this Bucs team seems to be allergic to the 20-point barrier. And anytime they... last season used to be a given they were going to score 31 points. Like, that was the benchmark, 31 points, and they would do it and they'd win. Now they're acting like they don't want to. But when I watch that, when I watch them get the ball back, even after everything had gone to hell, after the Browns came back and tied it, and they've got timeouts and time, and Todd Bowles, what have I told you all? People were screaming about it on Twitter when it was happening in real time on Sunday afternoon. Oh my God, what's he doing? Why aren't they calling timeouts? Why aren't they going downfield? What's going on? Are they already playing for overtime? There's plenty of time. I told you guys this weeks ago, okay? Defensive-minded head coaches, and there's a few defensive coaches that do get it, that understand football strategy. Let me tell you something else before I go on. Knowing X's and O's is not the same as football strategy. That's what separates head coaches, all right? Todd Bowles has forgotten more about football in the last 20 minutes than I will ever know in my entire life, X's and O's wise. But he does not know basic football strategy. He doesn't know it. He can't, his brain can't grasp it. And I told you guys this. I said, these defensive head coaches, it never occurs to them to score points. Like, it's always about, oh, we'll put it on the defense. We'll put it on the defense. We'll put it on the defense. That's their mentality. They played defense. Now they coach defense. Now they're the head coach. It's not in their nature. Like, in Todd Bowles' mind, even when Cleveland had the ball, he could have been using timeouts when they were inside the 10 because Cleveland wasn't pressed for time. You don't want to call timeouts and help the other team. But Cleveland had plenty of time on their own to run their red zone offense. It wasn't like we would have been helping them. So, hey, maybe we call a timeout after their second down play or their third down play, whatever. You know, that way you get more time in the event they score. If they don't score, it doesn't matter anyway. Didn't occur to them. So, okay, they score, we get the ball. Well, at least we still have those timeouts. We'll use them now. Nope, not going to use them now either. In Todd Bowles' mind, the game was already an OT. Like a minute 25 left with the ball and two timeouts when all you need is a field goal. That's a green light, like pedal to the metal, go. We're going to try and win this game for any normal football mind. But Todd Bowles doesn't understand. Like and he even said it after the game. This isn't me accusing him. Like he even said in his, no. At that point, we're going to overtime, blah, blah, blah. His quotes on why they lost the game after the game on Sunday. We're not getting it done on third down. I'm paraphrasing now. He said the team is not finishing on third downs. That's the key to staying on the field and keeping drives going. No! We've talked about this too. It's not the key. Third and manageable is not, in his mind, again, he's thinking, well, you know, we got to get to third and five, third and four, and then pick up the third down. No! Chunks of yardage. First downs on first down or second down. You don't even have to be in third downs. Third down conversion rate is not the important stat. Again, does not occur to him. Does not occur to Byron Leftwich. Tom Brady had 43 touchdown passes last year in the whole season. Now, we've only played 11 games in fairness. But he has got 12 touchdown passes this year. Like, you have to intentionally cut an offense down at the knees. That's what he's done. That's what these guys have done. They have brought this offense to its knees willfully. And like I said, I could live with not being good enough. Like, that is disheartening, but it's not, there's nothing you can do about that. Or at least there's nothing you can do in the moment. You can, you know, with the GM in the offseason. But this isn't on Jason Light. This team, okay, is a little older, sure. Does it have a ton of guys in their prime? No. And I know Tom Brady is a year older. And I know that, you know, when you hit the age that he's at, usually long before that, it's already started to go. But I don't care how old he is. The drop in his physical ability and his mental ability to play quarterback is not as precipitous from last year to this year as these numbers would make it sound. There's something else at play. There was a bigger personnel move, and it was Bruce Arians to Todd Bowles. And we didn't realize, I didn't either. When at the time that it happened, we had no idea at the time that it happened. But when the announcement came out, oh, Bruce Arians is going to step down. Don't worry, Todd Bowles taking over. Byron Leftwich still the offensive coordinator. What did most of us think? And some people did say it to their credit, but what did most of us, including me, think? Oh, well, hey, they won the Super Bowl. Continuity. It'll be fine. There shouldn't be much of a change here. Blah, blah, blah. Dead wrong. I was dead wrong. All of us were dead wrong. Because the franchise got completely neutered with this guy. Okay? And we cannot, and I don't expect the Glazers to do anything like right now, but we cannot continue like this. If we do, it'll just, hey, you think it's bad with Tom Brady? Imagine having the best quarterback of all time, and I know he's older now, but imagine having the best quarterback of all time and producing this shit on offense, okay? Imagine what it's going to be like when Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert or some other jabroni is the quarterback. Like, imagine that. Because you thought the Tony Dungy years were lean. I mean, Todd Bowles is semi-erect, probably, at the thought of some schmuck quarterback. It's going to be like when we had James Wilder, run to Wilder, incomplete pass, punt. I hope it never comes to that because I hope he's not coaching the team next year. The Glazers have surprised me before. And if anything's bad about the whole NFC South situation is that the Bucks could and very well may still win the NFC South. And I hope the Glazers don't let that mute a lot of the issues here and think, well, hey, on one hand, we did win the division. You can't argue with that. Yes, you can. That is random. That has to do with the other three teams you just are geographically grouped with. And maybe they will win the division. I don't know. I hope they do, I guess. But we cannot continue like this. It's crystal clear now. This isn't a debate. All right? So now it's just a matter of how long we're going to do this and how long the rest of us are going to be held in purgatory and watch this team completely, willfully diminish its own chances of winning every week. Incompetence, malpractice, call it whatever you want to call it. Like I said, you would think that they're not point shaving, but you actually would have to ask that if you didn't know any better. Like, are these guys point shaving? Are they trying not to win? Like, what the hell's going on? Like, and it's not just the, you know, the fourth and two thing. But even watching like the play sequencing and stuff like that, just little thing, or they seem like they're little things, but they're big things. Like taking two deep shots. Oh, well, there you go. That's aggressive. It's dumb. Like, there was a drive, one of the drives after the fourth and two thing happened. They went deep on second and long and third and long. Deep balls are low percentage by nature. We always want to mix them in. Yeah, of course, you have to, you know, first of all, go for it to try and score. But second of all, you know, keep defenses honest, take the lid off the defense, whatever cliche you want to use. But you can't do it twice on these low percentage plays. They end up punting. Like, get yards underneath. Get yards in the 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 yard range. Move the sticks, keep getting first downs. Get chunks of yardage. But they'll just run it up the middle, second and long. Two low percentage deep balls down the sideline to Mike Evans, who, by the way, Mike Evans is another thing, and he even said it. He's like, yeah, they only used me for deep balls. It was pretty much all go routes. Like, they haven't. And then in overtime, this is what killed me. In overtime, because the thing about deep balls, you're trying to go downfield and get aggressive, because why? Touchdowns are better than field goals. So when they got the ball in overtime and it was sudden death at that point, it wasn't even the thing where you just needed only a touchdown but a field goal doesn't end it. It was sudden death. They're taking these deep shots. I'm thinking, you know, a touchdown and a field goal are the same, right? Like, right now it doesn't matter. Just get the yards. We end up punting on third downs because we're go higher percentage. I mean, I'm pulling my hair out and I shave my head. And I'm still pulling my hair out. And I'm like, what is Byron Leftwich thinking? Like, what is he thinking? It's really upsetting. Like, honestly, and I'm not, like, one of these people for completely reactionary moves, and I'm not saying the Bucks will or should do this, but if they seriously had announced on Monday morning Todd Bowles was fired and we're hiring Frank Reich to coach the rest of the season, I would actually think then, hey, they actually might have a chance to do something now. Like, seriously. Like, even this edition of the Bucks at 5-6, I would start thinking, you know what? We could be someone you don't want to play in January. As it is, even if they win the division, if you told me right now they're going to hang on and win this division at 8-9 or 9-8 or something like that, and it, you know, even 7-10 may win it for all I know with the way the Falcons and the Saints have played. But if you told me, hey, you're going to win the division, you're going to get that home playoff game, I wouldn't even care. Like, I honestly don't think it's worth wasting emotional capital on this team. And I'm not telling you not to get excited anymore. Here's the thing. It's Friday right now, okay? These are the types of things I normally say on Sunday evening or even on Monday morning when I haven't had a chance to cool off. And then a few days later, I calm down. I get positive again. I say, okay, you know what? Forget about last week. We're looking ahead to this week. But I'm not there anymore. That's gone. That has died inside of me. As long as Numbnuts is coaching as the head coach. He's a great defensive coordinator, fine. But I guess it's the Peter principle. You ever heard of the Peter principle? It's the principle that people usually get promoted one level above where they belong, because after all, what happens when you do a good job at something, right? You get a promotion. So like if you're an entry-level employee, you do well, you get promoted to maybe, you know, a supervisor, then you get promoted to manager, then you get promoted to, you know, vice president eventually. But eventually you stop getting promoted when you reach the level that's pretty much one level above where you should be. Nobody ever stops at that one level where, hey, he's really good at this job, we're going to keep him at this job because this is what he's good at. You go one level more, right? You keep getting promoted. You did well. This is the Peter principle just acting out in front of us in real time, because Todd Bowles is a good defensive coordinator. And you say, okay, well, give him a head coaching gig. Nope, this is his second try now. And this is even more stark, at least with the Jets. You could have argued other things about, oh, well, what quarterbacks did he have or what this and that and the other. Oh, it's really, really, really disheartening. Watching them light first downs on fire. Greg Allman had a Twitter thread And Greg Allman is he was the Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. He's now moved, I think, to Fox Sports or something. He's covering the whole NFC South, but he's still pretty much covering the Bucks very closely. Anyway, he tweeted some numbers out because we always want to go off the actual data, not just how we feel or what we think we see. And he was talking about how the Bucks actually run the ball like the fourth least on first down of any team in the NFL, for as much as people complain. And that is true if you just look at the raw data, but you have to parse data, okay? That's not adjusted for situation-wise. So the Bucks run less on first down than we think they do because they pass on more first downs when they're trailing. But you can adjust these scenarios for the situation. Adjusted for the situation, basically in neutral situations, the Bucks pass the ball on first down the 18th most of anybody in the league. So they're more middle of the pack, which still might be more throwing on first down than you thought. But here's the thing. Considering the stark differences in the effectiveness of running on first down versus passing for this Bucks team, you know, this Bucks team is fifth in the NFL in EPA probability, basically win probability added. They're fifth on dropbacks on first down. They're very successful passing on first down. They are 29th when they run on first down. So considering the stark difference between how effective their offense is when they pass on first down versus how incredibly bad it is when they run on first down, to be 18th in first down pass rate in neutral situations is unacceptable. And John Ledyard, to his credit, pointed that out in that same Twitter thread. And ironically, if the Bucks ran less on first down, they probably would be better at running it overall because they would be in better situations. As is, they're always in second and long and third and long. And then you put the running game to bed, and then you also put your passing game behind the sticks. Now everybody's got their ears pinned back. Compound that. It's another thing. I mean, the passing game itself, even though we want them to do it more, incredible over-reliance on screen passes, incredible over-reliance on just random bullshit deep ball. Hey, we're just going to run a nine route and throw it down there and hope Mike Evans makes a play. Like, it's just, it's all just so poor compared to what we've seen it can be like. And Byron Leftwich was the offensive coordinator before. I just keep coming back to Todd Bowles and the philosophical differences that the head coach has between him and Bruce Arians and how that leaks down. I don't care that Todd Bowles doesn't personally coach offense. It still matters. Never mind that the timeout usage, the decisions on whether to punt or kick field goals or go for fourth downs, all those things do come back to the head coach, and the Bucs have been miserable in all of those departments. And that's the most frustrating part. There's nothing worse than being a fan of a team that you know is going to do those things wrong, that you know isn't going to maximize. Because let me tell you something. I mean, pro sports in general, but the NFL in particular, I mean, in the entire world, is there a more competitive environment than the world of professional football? It's the most hyper-competitive environment there is. One of the reasons it's so entertaining for us. Like, even the other sports, every sport is hyper-competitive at the professional level. But even the other sports, you know, you've got baseball, you've got lots more games. You kind of think about certain, you know, long-term things, maybe even at the diminishment or the sacrifice of the short-term. You know, basketball and hockey, again, long seasons, you rest guys, this or that. But football is pedal to the metal, all out, all the time, right? I mean, unless it's like week 17 or 18 and you've clinched. That's the only other time it's not like that. But otherwise, it is the most hyper-competitive environment in all of sports. And we're going out there into that environment with a head coach who wants to do as little as possible on the offensive side of the ball, who wants, that word is key, wants to do as little as possible. He doesn't care. And it sucks. It really sucks. He should not be a head coach, not of this team or of any other team. And as long as he is, we're going to come on this show or go on Twitter or go to the water cooler at your office and bitch and moan every single week. Just prepare to be frustrated. Prepare to be frustrated. I'm done with it. I'm not done with the Bucks. I'm saying I've you know, there's always a point where you finally, and this is true, I can remember the games, and even as a Gator fan, like for Gator coaches, there's always that game where you finally go, yep, all right, that's it. I've moved on from this person. We need somebody new. It doesn't always happen when that game happens, but that this was that game. Even Carolina, Pittsburgh, all that stuff. We should have known, I guess. We should have known. Even Green Bay, like all these games that were so winnable, if we could have scored a few touchdowns and it never occurred to them to maybe try and, again, quickly, efficiently amass yards and amass points, that's what an offense needs to do. And somebody else actually, who I'm going to find that tweet, because somebody tweeted that and I retweeted it. Follow me if you want to at Bobby Game Day on Twitter, BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com is my email address. It was someone named Eric Collison, and it showed up on my feed, so I retweeted it. He said, "For anyone wondering why offensive coaches are being hired as head coaches and defensive coaches are not, it's because offensive coaches don't rest the game on their defense. They want to score 1,000 points and put teams away." And that is how you have to treat every single time you have an offensive possession. Like, this team, this coaching staff just gives away so many offensive possessions. Just gives them away. Every time the ball's in your hands, wherever your field position is, you're thinking, touchdown. That's how you win games. Not, oh, let's see how long we can hold the ball, or oh, let's see if we can establish a running game, or oh, let's see if we can flip the field with a good punt. Touchdown. That is what you should be thinking. And then as the game situation changes later in the game, if you're up by a couple touchdowns or two scores or whatever, you know, then you can start adjusting for that. The Bucs are never in that position almost ever because they don't allow themselves to be. Because they never treat offensive possessions with that urgency, they give them away and just say, oh, we'll stop them. We'll stop them. And the defense, you know, I haven't mentioned the defense once. I know the defense had a dinner at Eddie V's. The entire defense had a dinner at Eddie V's the other night. Lavonte David and Devin White called the dinner. And they said, oh, you know, we need to have, not like a players-only meeting, but they said we need to be closer. We need to kind of get on the same page. And that's great. And for any criticisms that we've had of the defense here and there, I haven't said a word about them because they're not the issue. Honestly, they're not the issue. They gave up the tying touchdown. They're going to give way in the fourth quarter eventually. Look at the point totals they're allowing. They're in the teens and low 20s all the time. To go 5-6 with what the defense has given us is absolute coaching malpractice. And it's really, really disheartening. It really, really sucks. And I'm not trying to say I feel sorry for myself or we should feel sorry for ourselves as Buck fans, but yes, I am saying that. Like that, nobody should have to be a fan of the team. It's one thing to just be a fan of a bad team. Okay, they're bad, whatever. This sucks, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can only hope the owners of the team, the people in charge, see it and act upon it. I hope we don't go through another season of this, or maybe we should. Maybe we should just do this again next year, only without Tom Brady, and go 3-14 and get Caleb Williams from USC. Maybe that's what we ought to do. I don't know. But I mean, seriously, think about that. Like, it's easy to get used to things after a while. But I still remember the offseason of 2020 and hearing the first little rumors that Tom Brady might be leaving the Patriots and maybe the Bucs were one of, at that point, many teams. And thinking to myself, man, I've been in Tampa. I've been following Tampa sports teams all my life. There ain't no way Tom Brady's coming here. We're not that type of team. We're not the team that type of stuff happens to. I remember that. And then it happened. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, do you realize what's happened over the past 3 years? It wasn't that much. I mean, the time frame wasn't that long. We went from a team in the doldrums with nothing to winning the Super Bowl in one freaking year. The Super Bowl! And Tom Brady was not solely the reason, but he was a big part of it, obviously. You don't need me to tell you that. The greatest QB of all time comes here. And even in year two, I mean, you're just there. All, you know, Super Bowl, division round, whatever. Just be there. And then we get maybe one more year. Okay, he retires. We didn't think we'd get any, and then he comes back. We get one more year. Like, you got to go all in here, right? I mean, although now it's looking at least slightly more possible, but I still don't, who knows what's going to happen next season. But you've got these precious few seasons with this guy. And this is what we're doing with year three? Like, that's unforgivable. Like, it really is unforgivable what this coaching staff has done with this one last year where we had a shot. And I'm not saying the Bucs would have been a Super Bowl team if you simply kept Bruce Arians around. You know, I understand things diminish a little bit, but you have to, if nothing else, in the most hyper-competitive environment in the entire world, be maximizing your chances on every front. And you still might come up short. In fact, 31 of 32 teams are still going to come up short. But the assumption is that they're at least all doing it. And it doesn't even feel like we're doing it, man. And it pisses me off. I'm really upset. 5 days later. And so Monday Night Football comes to town. That's another thing. I guess we should savor this. We got one more national, two more actually. We got the Christmas night game as a Sunday night game in Arizona. How much fun it's all been, these national TV games. Because as quickly as it came to us, it can go away. It already feels like it has gone away, even though a lot of the same players are still here. So I look forward to just complete frustration. I mean, here's the thing. Win or lose, have you had less fun watching the Bucks? I mean, we all did, I guess, pre-2020. But it's just not a fun team to be a fan of and not a fun team to watch right now. And it feels like they're just going to go out there over and over again and try and hope they can eke it out their way. And when they come up just short, they're not going to self-examine how they could have maybe maximized their chances. They're going to say, oh, well, we just need to make more plays. We just need to have more stops on third down. We need to get more third down conversion. Completely ignoring the structural problems that led to all of that. Basically, they're going to look at it at the micro level instead of looking at it at the macro level. Well, I hope the Glazers are looking at it at the macro level and that we don't have to do this for much longer because it sucks. So, okay, that's the negative part of the show, and we'll try and just look forward now to the Saints game. If you want to look at positives, okay, I mean, I always try to be positive somehow. And if you just want to live in the moment and not worry about the long-term futility of having the coaching staff we have or anything like that, fine. Bucks do lead the NFC South. They do have a Monday Night Football home game against a division opponent. And these games are important not just, obviously, for the wins and losses factor, but division record is the number one tiebreaker when you are even head-to-head in your division. So the Bucks actually look good on tiebreakers. And, you just want to kind of filter everything else out of your mind and focus on that. Hey, it's Monday Night Football. It's always exciting if you're going to the game. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Obviously, you're under the lights. Weather this time of year is nice. It's a pleasure to be out there. If you're going to be home, have some buddies over. Use it as an excuse to get together. Put the TV outside, or if you already have a TV out on your back porch, great night to do that, all those types of things. Give you the injury look here, the injury report for yesterday. I'm recording this again on Friday morning, so they haven't had their Friday practice yet, but just for yesterday, for the injury report, Tristan Wirfs obviously is not going to be in there. He's luckily, there's another thing, if we don't screw around and just win the damn game, there is no overtime and Wirfs never gets hurt. But anyway, nothing broken. He's probably out at 3 to 4 weeks, which is a lot better than being out for the season. But he's not going to be in there this week. So I'm sure that'll do wonders for our philosophical ideals of throwing the ball quickly. I'm sure we'll just be getting that ball out within 0.2 seconds now, as they already don't seem to trust their protection, even though it hasn't been bad. And this is just going to make that worse. But anyway, he's out. Antoine Winfield's got an ankle thing he didn't practice. You've got Vita Vea, who, we heard about the foot last week. But then he was fine. He played. Didn't practice yesterday because of the foot. Mike Edwards did not practice with a hamstring. Cam Brate has an illness. That shouldn't be something that carries over to us to Monday night. But we'll see. And then you've got a Saints, another low-powered offense. They got shut out by the 49ers. I mean, I'm hesitant to even break down the Saints game because what does it matter? I don't even think the opponent matters. I honestly don't. I think the Bucs could be playing anybody and nearly beat them, but come up just short because they didn't score enough points. That could be true against any opponent, save for maybe, even the Chiefs, they almost, once they got their head out of their ass, it was just too late. They just, they had not done what they needed to do early in the game, philosophically. So, yeah, it doesn't even matter. Call it the Saints, call it whoever you want. Saints, aren't exactly formidable. Andy Dalton, although they're starting to chirp about wanting Jameis Winston back in the media up there and then the fans up there. But whatever. Either way, it's Monday Night Football, so enjoy it. I wish I had more positive to say today. Honestly, I really don't. And that doesn't mean mathematically they're eliminated from anything. They're actually probably better than 50% to make the playoffs right now. But that doesn't matter. Things need to change, and I don't have any confidence anymore that this coaching staff is going to do it itself. So that pretty much leaves the Glazers. We'll see how long we sit and wait. In the meantime, we'll amuse ourselves with trying to win a crappy division. In the meantime, if you're looking for a brand new or pre-owned vehicle, whether it's a car, whether it's a truck or a van, check out BillCurryFord.com. Remember, Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can see everything they have there that is including all the used stuff, all the pre-owned stuff, all the new stuff, cars, trucks, vans. By the way, every single one of those cars, the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty applies to it. So you've got complete coverage on engine trouble or things like that. For as long as you own the car, you bought it, Bill Curry Ford. Go see him in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. My good friend Sean Sullivan, the GM over there. And they've been serving the area for 60 years. You're going to get great service. You're going to get that warranty. You're going to get free oil changes and service for the first year. You're going to get free roadside assistance for 10 years. You don't need AAA or anything. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. With all that said, the weekend is upon us, folks. Enjoy it. Enjoy Monday Night Football. Hopefully they get a win. We're feeling a little bit better about ourselves, 6-6. Maybe they can win 12-11 or something like that. I don't know. I'm sure Todd Bowles has got all the permutations of how they can win with under 20 points burned into his mind. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, Twitter at BobbyGameDay. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform at JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere. Enjoy the first weekend of December. I'm Bobby Fenton. Have fun, stay safe, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.